Shalom liyudim, shalom b'nei Noach, shalom goyim. It's the evening of the second day, Tes b'chodesh Teves, Parshas Vayechi, Tavshinayin Vav, the evening of the first day, Sunday, 20 December 2015, webcasting from the land of Israel, where everyday goyim try to murder Jews. Let's see, on Friday, Israelite warriors were the target of what the MSM here calls a Palestinian man in a car who tried to run them over near Silwad, that's an Arab settlement a few miles northeast of Ramallah. But the warriors escaped unharmed and managed to put the would-be Arab assassin to sleep for all eternity. Afterwards, they found a knife in the vehicle. That's part of the technique these days. And in Ramallah itself, a violent Arab mob aggressed against Israeli troops that had to shoot one of them dead. And then yesterday, in the afternoon of the Holy Sabbath, in upscale coastal Ranana, no racist, fascist, imperialist settlers lived there, when a different Palestinian man snuck up behind, as I understand it, a couple sitting on a park bench, a 40-something woman and a 60-something man, and plunged his dagger into the both of them, and then ran into an apartment house, into an apartment where a woman alone fought him off and pushed him out. He ran and hit eventually someplace and was unfortunately, arrested by police. I say unfortunately, they should have put him to sleep like a rabid dog. And last night, amazing IDF intelligence and operational excellence led to the killing of Samir Kundar, who should have been killed decades ago. In 1979, he committed one of the most horrific murders here, and then spent 29 years in an Israeli prison, was released in 2008 for the remains of dead Israeli soldiers, and in recent years he has worked with Hezbollah to help them in their crusade to kill Jews and destroy our independence, and of course, being Arabs, loot the country afterwards. You know, like Vienna and Austria and really all over Europe a generation ago, Jews were not only massacred in the millions, but stripped of their wealth in the millions. Vienna, for example, like Amsterdam, was 25% Jewish before the war, and those Jews had homes and furniture and cars and bank accounts and businesses, department stores, all now in the hands of goyim. Holocaust was not only a great massacre, but no less armed robbery on a continental scale. And these Arabs may be religiously Islamic, but they remain Arabs, whose pre-Islamic culture was one of armed robbery. So in response to Israel's amazing keeping track in Lebanon of Kuntar and obliterating him last night via some aerial projectile, three missiles today were shot into northern Israel this morning. Air raid sirens went off. People scrambled. Imagine that, air raid sirens in the year 2015. Just like 70 years ago in 1945, only Europeans haven't heard such sirens in all those decades. But we Jews, well, hardly a year has gone by since then without hearing them. As I say, not a day goes by without a goy or two or three trying to murder a Jew here or planning to do so in the near future. Think of that, not a day goes by without some goyim in the neighborhood planning, daydreaming about murdering Jews at random. Anyway, aside from this daily violence report I feel obligated to speak about, some good news was the continuing focus on the Breaking the Silence traitors. A press conference was held today, led by Yair Lapid, on the offensive. And that truly is good news, for he represents the ultimate in post-Jewish Israeli culture. People who commonly hate us settlers, who are protected by the IDF, for the leftists among them, who support these traitors, the solution to the abuse by the IDF of the ancient victims of Zionism is to withdraw them all and let us dreadful settlers fend for ourselves. But not Yair Lapid, thank God. He spoke for 600 IDF reservists, officers and soldiers who don't like breaking the silence, along with us national religious types. And Lapid said, quote, "Organizations like Breaking the Silence have crossed the red line between criticism and sabotage." Likewise, the head of a pre-military academy and a company commander, retired, Amit Deri, said, quote, "Who are you breaking the silence, claiming to represent us IDF soldiers, and tell us that we threw away the code of ethics, throw it out the window, breaking the silence, tells blood libels about us in the U.S. and across Europe. They say the IDF deliberately harms civilians. You may criticize, but you cannot lie. Breaking the silence is no longer legitimate, close quote. Very nice. In addition, MTLTSU has sent letters to major contributors to the New Israel Fund and asked them to stop funding their anti-Jew slander operations. And they listed like a dozen of them that get money from the IDF, you know, Breaking the Silence, B'Tselem, Gisha, the ACRI, BIMCOM, Rabbis for Human Rights, etc. More dishonesty in this, as discussed last webcast, the leader of Rabbis for Human Rights is this Arik Asherman, who runs that outfit. Were he honest, he would call it Rabbis for Ancient Palestinian Rights to the Land of Israel and the right to take it away from the Jews. Here is a so-called rabbi, Reform, of course, who does not believe in the promise made to Abraham in his first discussion with the creator of the universe that he's going to give him this land. No, Asherman is a big supporter of Palestinian nationalism, which is, if nothing else, the claim that the Jewish claim to this country is a lie. And the ancient Palestinian claim is the authentic one. Palestinian nationalism is as delusional as National Socialism was. In its claim about the perfidious Jews, the Nazis furiously accused the Jews of wanting to overrun the whole world, when, of course, that was the Nazis' dream for themselves. And likewise, when the Arabs snarl that Israel is stealing their land, it's really their wish to steal ours. Not surprisingly, the New Israel Fund replied to this new MTLTSU initiative of writing letters to its donors and asking them to stop supporting this blood libel against the IDF. The NIF responded, quote, our donors know very well who and what MTLTSU is, the organization designated as having fascist attributes by an Israeli judge and whose most recent attack on four human rights leaders are lies that provoke and endanger their safety. MTLTSU's credibility, given their history of incitement and their shadowy funding, is null and void. In the U.S., our supporters understand that in a democracy upholding human rights and listening to unpopular voices telling the truth about their own experiences, enforcing an unjust occupation is both difficult and absolutely necessary. Close quote. Yeah, it's got all of the symptoms of this spiritual disorder of the left. We criticize them, and they say you're inciting people to murder us. You're endangering the lives of these four leaders with lies. And, of course, they speak of an unjust occupation. A Jew who speaks of an unjust occupation has left the Jewish people. There's no reason for that. There's more to this letter, but I'll stop right here. It's enough to expose how thoroughly these American Jews have been assimilated into non-Jewish American culture. How, the word I prefer, how de-Judaized they have become. Assimilated can have a positive connotation. I don't like the word, such as assimilating new information and knowledge about something. That's great. But when speaking of an assimilated Jew, it means a de-Judaized Jew. It refers to a loss of identity, not the acquisition of something new and better. In defense of the new Israel types, I would say that they are so far gone, they don't even know what they're doing. They seem unaware that what they're doing is what homicidal anti-Semitic goyim have done for generations. They're accusing Jews of murder, of sadism, killing and abusing ancient Palestinians for no good reason other than their own innate, ugly, sadistic Jewish cruelty. Do individual Israeli soldiers occasionally aggress unnecessarily against the Arabs here? Of course they do. And when they are reported, they are punished. What Breaking the Silence does is imply that this is IDF policy to act like this. As Amir Deri said at the press conference, they accused the army of throwing away the code of ethics that the IDF teaches its soldiers. And I doubt this American Jewish has any awareness that he and his fellows are acting like anti-Semites throughout the ages. Typical of them is the New Israel Fund reply here, which is name-calling, citing some de-Judaized Israeli jurist that MTLTSU is fascist. There's no shortage of such jurists in Israel. And I'm always pleased, personally, when my critics get into name-calling like this, right? Take it as evidence of the value and accuracy of my views, for All they can do is name call. They have no counterfacts and reasoning and arguments to challenge what I say. And that's the same here. I think last night as well, there was a smaller crowd, a rally in Tel Aviv in support of the BDS types, but it's more important that these 600 reservists have signed on. So in this regard, it was a good news day, especially when such as Yair Lapid leads the charge. So, kicking back at these Israeli Jews engaged in sabotage, using Lapid's word, backed by de-Judaized American Jews, was good news, but not so other news about the Jews in the UK. On Wednesday, the veteran and normally spineless Jewish Chronicle newspaper interviewed the new chief rabbi in the UK, Ephraim Mirvis, and he made a U-turn. Compared to its previous resistance to a government diktat that all British schools have to teach, as I understand it, about another religion, the second religion, rather than the majority faith of the school or the community. The rabbi at first had resisted. And one argument for that was the requirement meant functionally telling the Jews in his schools to take time away from teaching about their own religion to teach about another religion. And it was estimated that the Jewish religious studies would be reduced by 25%. But now he has reversed course and agrees that Jewish schools should teach Islamic studies too. Now he has said, quote, "It's more important than ever that our children have a better understanding of Islam and that we build strong relationships with British Muslims. Islam is a faith which is widely discussed but often poorly understood in public discourse." Close quote. And I am, for one, horrified by his words here. Of course, the tiny reform movement in England praised the rabbi for this turnabout. Their chief rabbi, a woman, said teaching about Islam was an excellent idea and long overdue. And I find this frightening, yet another example of thimitude. These are certainly ignorant Jews if they think that it's possible to teach Islam honestly and as the directive clearly wants, to say nice things about this religion, because after all, isn't Islam one of the great monotheistic Abrahamic religions that are all deep down the same, all worthy religions of equal worth? If I were Rabbi Mervis, I'd tell the authorities, if we teach anything at all about Islam, it's going to be the Jewish narrative, like the Palestinian narrative in which we teach our children that Islam is in its core a form of anti-Semitism evidenced by the constant persecution of Jews by Muslims in every century for the last 14. We Jews may be required to teach about Islam, but the content will be ours and not written by some bureaucrat in Her Majesty's government. This week I will have another piece on the American Thinker website, and it's about the First Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, whose words say there will be no establishment of religion in the New Republic, and what the framers really meant, I say, and no doubt, hearing this story, they would have been spinning in their graves. It was their wisdom to rule that in the New Republic, religion was not the government's business. There would be no government office regulating religion. That's what they meant by establishment, a government bureaucracy. And here in England, this sounds like the framers' worst nightmare. The government is dictating to people they must reduce the time they teach their children of their own religion and must devote time to teaching about another religion and surely using a curriculum approved by the government. I'm interested to see what happens there with this. Let the Jewish schools spend some time teaching about Islam and pointing out that the Quran is more evidence of the theft characteristic of the sons of Ishmael, that the Quran is a plagiarized version of the Torah, and worse. Muslims claim the Jews plagiarized the Quran, and the Torah is bogus. One can only wonder what would be the reaction on Fleet Street and in Parliament when it becomes known that the Jewish schools are teaching of the Jizya tax, when Jews were forced to pay in order to retain the right to remain Jewish and not be murdered by Muslims. In my book, I relate an episode in wartime Morocco. I think of Humphrey Bogart and Ingrid Bergman and Claude Rains in Casablanca. In Marrakesh, I think it was, when the Nazis showed up and wanted to basically steal all the wealth in the Jewish community, they were asked not to do that because the tradition there was this. The Jews would be left alone to work and produce and create wealth for like 20 years. And then the local pasha and his friends would tax the Jews to the point of taking all that they had produced away from them and leaving them as penniless paupers and having them start again from scratch. The locals told the Germans to be patient and not mess with the system whose current cycle had yet to run its course. I would teach in these English schools of Maimonides and how he had to run for his life twice from Muslims as murderous as today's ISIS. Surely this British innovation will not be satisfied with a curriculum about Islam that is not politically correct. Talk about fascism. It's happening in the States too, I'm afraid. There was that story out of Virginia last week about parents outraged that their kids were being taught about Islam, and surely about what a nice religion it is. To repeat, governments in the West have no business regulating religious life, which includes religious teaching. Roman Catholics have the right to teach whatever they want about other religions, Jews too, Muslims too. It's not for the government to be in the business of ordering religious communities what to teach about other religions. None of the government's business. And as for the decision by the chief rabbi in England, it remains to be seen what he has in mind. If it is submitting to a politically correct curriculum, he must rebel. He should say, we will teach about Islam as we experienced it over 14 centuries, and not as some bureaucrat wants us to teach. May the rebellion here today by the Israeli Center against pro-enemy fellow Israelis become a forerunner of similar rebellions in the West against this politically correct beautification of Islam. Remember, that's what the Imam Barack Obama was up to in Cairo when he said he didn't want a world in which it was okay not to say nice things about the Prophet. Islam in this generation is the menace to mankind, to match the menace that communism was during the Cold War, and before them Nazism and fascism in that hot war. It will not do to persist with this cowardly descent into thimitude. Islam must be spoken about, but truthfully. Thank you. You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com, broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa. Speaking before, as I often do, about the menace of Islam and another bad news item, besides the latest attempts to murder us, Friday's J-Post hard copy reported that the successful Taglit birthright program will no longer lead its charges to the Western Wall on Sabbath Eve, and that has long been a highlight of these free 10-day whirlwind trips for young diaspora Jews. And the reason is the security situation. This visit has always entailed walking at dusk, as one does, on the Sabbath, through the Old City, to the Kotel, to the Wall, but now that is considered too risky, given the latest fashion in Jew killing here, these sudden knife attacks. The Old City is all narrow alleys and dark corners. I hope the government budgets whatever is necessary to guard these young Jews come to experience what it means to be in a country in which everybody, aside from the tourists and the Arabs, is Jewish, and to go to the to ground zero of the Jewish world. It can be a most unsettling, in the best sense, experience. I think the government must not let this happen. I'm sure the walk can be secured, but for sure it will cost money. Lots of overtime. We cannot let the Muslims restrict our religious life like this any more than they already do. This is what the conflict here is really about, though mainstream Israelis remain still too far from that awareness and recognition that this is and has always been a religious conflict, which is why every peace plan based on material modalities, you know, where to draw the lines on the ground, never work, because the conflict is not about real estate and never was. The existence of the State of Israel, and in particular its rule in Jerusalem and Hebron, is experienced by Muslims, and rightly so, as a mortal threat to their religion, which is all they have in this world to ease the pain of living in such a miserable society. Maybe some of you saw that Memory.org release of a video of a Saudi politician, a member no less of the Shura Council of Advisors to the King, one Ibrahim al-Bulehi, who in a TV interview recently attacked Arab culture's, quote, hatred of the other for being behind the Paris attacks by ISIS. Quote, "We are immersed in violence. We believe we are always in the right and that the falsehood of the other is absolute. This persists hate whoever does not agree with our thinking and our way of life." He said the Arab world cannot be held accountable for the ISIS attacks in Paris and 9/11, but for the culture behind them, close quote. Right on. Another example of the fact that Arabi does not lack for sober and clear-eyed individuals. The problem is they are like isolated flowers in a garden of weeds. Without a doubt, there are civilized people in Islam, but without a doubt, they are so few and far between and represent no centers of power to change this culture. Israel, I hope, puts up a fight and does not let the current fashion in attacking Jews here prevent this most popular event in this successful program financed by a few Jewish zillionaires to be interrupted. Something like 100,000, I think, young people have taken advantage of the freebie 10-day experience, and going to the Wall on Friday night in that 10 days has been a highlight, they say. For sure, the majority enjoy themselves on the 10-day trip, and they get to see the truth about Israel that they don't as consumers of the MSM in the West.
פניך ממני ביום צר לי
Two final items, both good news, sort of. The Czech Parliament in Prague, as beautiful a city as Paris, voted to reject the EU's latest version of the Yellow Star labeling products as made by, in implication, criminal Jews. The Czechs are as sophisticated as any nation in Eastern Europe, and this is more evidence of that. They know anti-Jewism when they see it. And the other item was good news for Israelis, if not yours truly. The UN now recognizes Yom Kippur as an official holiday, which means no official meetings can take place on that day, and employees are free to take the day off. Israel's ambassador to the UN, Dani Danon, calls it a decisive victory that finally provides an official place for the Jewish religion in the world's parliament, close quote. Danon was appointed by Netanyahu, whose one major book was A Place Among the Nations. Danone, as far as I know, is hard right politically, but he's not religious. So there's a bit of irony in this story. But sadness as well for yours truly, that there still are Israelis like him who care what the UN thinks of us. For me, there can be only one good story to come out of the UN. It will be the day Israel walks out of that cesspool of corruption and age-old anti-Jewism in modern dress. Who cares what the UN thinks of us and our religion? Okay, that's it. And this is Sunday. And on Tuesday, no webcast because it's the 10th of the month of Tevet. Another half-fast day, as remember. the beginning of the siege against Jerusalem. So I'll be back on Thursday, God willing. Until then, have an easy fast and Laila Tov, Eretz Yisrael.